All right, let's remain standing for a minute and turn to Ephesians chapter number 5 as we finish up, okay? Ephesians chapter number 5. I apologize for the air conditioning. It is not bad in here. Well, actually, because probably the best air conditioning vent hits right here, so sometimes it's not too bad. But we had a youth conference. Who was here on youth conference Monday? I was not happy with the air conditioning guy. I was thinking very bad thoughts during the youth conference on Monday night. We got one of our units went out. They put a new unit in, and then we had other problems, and we've been trying to get it fixed. It was better Monday. It was better Tuesday and Wednesday, but it still has some issues we're working through, and it will be ready by Thursday, or else the air conditioning man and I will not be friends anymore. Ephesians chapter 5, please, verse number 21. We'll read a few verses here. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21, it says, submitting yourselves to one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their own wives as their own selves. Excuse me, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And we'll stop there. Father, we thank you again for this evening, the time we can be here. I pray you'd bless our service. I pray you'd speak to us a little bit about this area of marriage and family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, we've been in this series since the beginning of summer. Last week we started a message. We're just calling it the key words or really qualities of marriage and family. Our series is Family by the Book. We want to follow God's plan for the family. As we've said many occasions, there are two ways in which we can do anything in life. We can do them our own way, or we can do them God's way. If we do it our own way, things don't turn out so well. If we do it God's way, things have a tendency to turn out much better. And so as we follow the Word of God and we see what God says about things and we follow that, we have a much better chance of success in everything that we are doing. And so we started looking at this passage of Scripture, looking at a couple of the key words. Last week we looked at responsibility. Of course, everybody has a responsibility within the marriage. And as we fulfill our individual responsibilities in the marriage, working together, we can be in harmony and things will go better. Then we looked at love. Of course, when love is talked about in the marriage, in the Bible primarily, it's directed at the husbands because we have a tendency to, not that we don't love our wives, but yet to move on to other things if we're not careful. But so we talked about that. We're going to talk about a couple more tonight. These are key words or qualities. The new one for tonight, the first one is this, sacrifice. Sacrifice. And we're not talking about how you get rid of your spouse, okay? Sacrifice. Verse 25, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it. You know, someone was talking about someone that was saying, I think I love my spouse too much. You know, you can't do that. If you love your spouse more than Christ loved the church, then you have a problem. I don't think anybody has that issue. But we're supposed to love, and again, it's to the husbands, but applies to both of us. We're supposed to love as Christ loved the church. How did he do that? The last five words there. And gave himself for it. If we're not careful when we read the Bible, we'll read a sentence like that, we'll read a thought like that, and we'll quickly pass on without giving any thought to what it is saying. Even, oh yes, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Do you understand what was involved with that? I mean, he sacrificed his life for the church. He gave himself. He allowed himself, the creator of the universe, to have his creation nail him to a cross. That's kind of a big thing. That's a lot of sacrifice. And that is the way in which we are to love our wives, but I think the wives can also love the husbands. I remember my daughter-in-law, when we started the church in Monterey Park, her parents, I think you were there too, the first Sunday. And so we wanted to get to know the new people that were in the new church there, so I invited them out to eat, and they said, well, we don't like to go out to eat. We would rather have you over for dinner. Well, I'm like, okay, I can live with that. So my wife and I went over. I also remember she said we couldn't decide whether to have steak or chicken, so we have both. And I'm like, I like these people. They're good people. And we were sitting there, and he was kind of giving his testimony. And in an off-the-wall way, he mentioned this. He goes, he's talking about, yeah, when I read that verse in the Bible, how you're supposed to love your wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for this. And he kind of stopped and said, I don't know what the word he was. He said, that's kind of heavy. He said, and I stopped and I said, Lord, how in the world can you do that? He didn't get an answer. Neither have we. Sacrifice. That's what it's talking about. Are we willing to sacrifice ourselves? Sacrificial love. What degree of love am I willing to show? So often our love gets so self-centered in anything, and we're like, well, you know, this has happened and this has happened and I can't love anymore. You know, Jesus had a lot of reasons not to love us. He came into his own received him not. One week they're all yelling, Hosanna. The next week they're all yelling, crucify him. If that doesn't explain how a wife feels sometimes, I don't know what does. Someone has said a wife can say, I love you and I hate you in the same sentence, and she meant it both times, okay? And I don't know if that's true. My wife has never been like that. But I'm just glad you woke up. Thanks. We gain a lot in marriage. We really do. Marriage is a blessing. You know, there's all the jokes about marriage, and I won't give any because I don't have any that come to mind right now. But marriage is a blessing. Okay? Marriage is a blessing. I'm sure there's one somewhere in here. And we gain a lot in marriage. We do. But we have to understand, marriage isn't just about gaining. Marriage is about giving. And if we'll love and give sacrificially, we can have the marriage. We gain a lot. What are some things that we give up that we must be willing to sacrifice? Just think about some of these. Time. Now, it's easy when you first get married. Like, we have several. We've had, five or six marriages in the last year? Okay. And it's like, you know, honeymoon phase, that's the easy part. Oh, yeah, I'll just give all the time in the world. But, you know, as life goes on and it gets a little more, things start coming into life, children, jobs, all these other things that are going on, it's very easy if we're not careful to pull back on some of those. Time. Your spouse needs time with you, believe it or not. Say, how much time do they need? I remember someone asked, when I was in Bible college, someone asked one of the teachers, and it was in the context of being a pastor, but he said, how much time should I give my wife? Here was his answer. As much time as she needs. Time. Sometimes you have to set aside your own schedule for the betterment of your marriage and the betterment of your family. What happens? We get selfish. And by the way, I say this on many occasions. If you're married, you don't need to be hanging around with your single friends. Let's just throw that out there. After work, you don't need to be hanging out with the guys. You need to go home. Thank you, Brother Pichardo. Appreciate that. So I still have my friends. You shouldn't have, you have your friends. Don't get me wrong. But listen, you're not a single guy anymore. You have a responsibility. Go home after work. Have these times together. We talk about over and over, but you need to have time together. And sometimes that means giving up what you would want, time alone or this or that or the other, to be with your spouse. You know what else you give up? You give up freedom. Freedom. You mean marriage is like being in bondage? Kind of. A good bondage. You give up your freedoms. You are one flesh. That means you are together in everything. And so if you're together in everything, everything one spouse does will affect the other, whether you like that or not. Everything I do in my life, I could mess up, I can blow it, I can be a knucklehead. Oh, I've done that before. I can do other things like, I can just, well, that's just going to affect me. No, it doesn't. It'll affect my wife. It'll affect my children. To some degree, it'll probably affect my grandchildren. See, we don't live unto ourselves. You understand there was a great responsibility we took on when we said those two words, I do. And so we have given up some of our freedoms to be part of this new family and to build this family and to be blessed in this family, but we give up some freedoms. You don't have freedoms like you had before, just to be with your friends whenever you want. And I'm not against being with your friends. Don't get me wrong. But not to the extent you did. Listen, when you were single, you could, at the drop of a hat, do this, that, or the other. Can't do that anymore. You have a wife, you have children. Well, I want to do what I want to do without accountability. It's none of my wife's business. It's none of my husband's business what I do. Can I just explain this? And I say this as kindly as I can. It is their business. Thank you, Brother Rawl. It is. I have no right to take off and do, and you may not like this, but that's okay. I have no right to take off and do anything without my wife knowing. She knows what I'm doing 24 hours a day. My schedule is such that she'll know where I am at any time. And if she wants to know specifically where I am, all she has to do is whip out the phone and do find my friends. Now, she doesn't do it, but I do it on her, and I'll tell you why. You know how ladies are? Hey, hon, when are you going to be here? I'll be here. I'm almost there. Now, I know what I'm almost there means. Now, she tells me it's a Mexican thing. She's on Mexican time, right? By the way, it's not just Mexican, it's Cambodian time, and some of you white people got it too. Filipino time. As okay, there you go. I remember the first, when we were Cambodian Baptist Church, the first wedding was supposed to start at 10. There was four people there at 10 o'clock. And none of us were getting married to each other. Okay, they started at 11. I said, that's just what we do. I'm like, okay. So I just, my wife, I'm on my way. It won't be long. And I'm like, you know, I'm almost there. And I get the phone. It's like, she just left the house. So maybe it misses something in the translation from Spanish to English. I'm not quite sure. But you know what? I don't check up on her because I want to know where she's at. No, I trust my wife. But if I want to, I know where she's at. She doesn't just hide. Neither should we. We should be willing. By the way, it makes me nervous when someone doesn't want accountability. What are you doing? And by the way, I say I'm a kid. You're not a child. But the more you're willing to be accountable, the more trustworthy we are. And by the way, it's just good for us to be accountable. It's a safety net. And so those freedoms, you're one person now. It's not just about what you want to do. It's about the marriage, the group, the family. Freedom. You know what you give up? You give up yourself. You must become second. You can't be first anymore. Okay? You got to put your family first. And there'll be times when something you're going to do or whatever, and something comes up, and the family needs it. That's your priority. That's got to be your priority. You can't be selfish. You give up rights, you know. Well, I have my rights. And I know we all have rights. But it works so much better when we look at others' needs. Let's take what I, and let's set that over here. And what can I do to work on those needs? And then one more thing here. We sacrifice our wants. You know, when you were single, You probably didn't. Look, you probably had a little bit more money than when you got married. You probably could, you know, if you wanted to go out and buy something, you could, you know. When I was single and the short time I lived at home before I went off to college, the way our house was in the back, I kind of had like, it was like my own apartment. I had my own entranceway in the back and bedroom and thing. I was working a job and I had money and very few bills. You know, I went out like one day, I'm just out and I'm like, man, it'd be nice to be a motorcycle. I wasn't even thinking of buying a motorcycle. I went to a lot. There was a nice motorcycle, 700 miles. I drove home with it. You know, I didn't have to call and ask anybody. I'm like, I want this thing. I wanted to do something. I didn't have to check anybody's schedule. I just did it. Now I have responsibilities. So I can't just do what I want. And I mentioned before, when in the area of finances, you know, I run the family's finances. I know if we have extra money. So if I want to buy something, I could. And I'm the boss. I can do it. But I never would. I always ask, hey, you know, I need a new computer. I think we do. Yeah, she's fine. I remember back in the early days when we first started working at the church, finances were extremely tight. This is many years ago. And I was doing the church tracks. And I needed a digital camera. The church couldn't get one. And but I also wanted a, remember, how many remember the Palm Pilots? Man, I love that thing. I had like an emotional tie with it. But I wanted a Palm Pilot too. Organizational thing to carry around with you. And you say, those of you a little bit younger, what's a Palm Pilot? It's what your cell phone does like 75,000 times better. But it was a little to-do list and all that, and it was, you know, black and white screen, and it's plastic, and it was cool. And I wanted both of those things. And it just so happens we got a pretty good tax return, but there were some things we needed. So I talked to my wife about it, and I'm like, she says, yeah, you can do what you want. I'm like, okay, I'm going to buy one of them. Yeah, buy one of them. I'm like, okay. Now I know my wife. I'm like, honey, come with me to the store. Just come. I just want you to come. So I remember we went to, I don't know if it was CompUSA, one of these places that's out of business. And I went there, and, you know, I was strategic. Come, I want you to look at these. And she could care less. And I looked at the digital camera. I said, now that's the one. Okay, hold this for a second. Just let's think about this. Then I went over, and I looked at the Palm Pilots, and I got it. And I think, I don't know if I had her holding both of them. I'm like, honey, I just don't know which one to get. Now, I'm only going to get one because we decided that. Which one should I get? And you have to know my wife. Just get both. Now, I could never do that, sweetheart. That would just be wrong. No, just get both. Okay, now, if you insist. Okay. I got my wants. But anyhow, don't do what I do. But sometimes you need to put aside what you want. You say, well, you understand, my wife shops all the time. I know, she's buying a shirt or socks or something. We don't do that. We go buy a brand new boat. Honey, I bought something, just one thing. What? A $10,000 boat, okay? There goes the budget. But let's be very careful. We need to put to the side what we want for the betterment of the family. Put their wants first. That's sacrifice. Sacrifice. Let's get away with it. It's my time. It's my freedom. It's my needs. It's my wants. And I know you have those. And by the way, the best way to have those met is to put them off to the side and meet your spouse's, and you'll find out that yours will be met. Just works that way. Before we move on to the second point I want to look at tonight, I want to give this. This is the worst example of sacrifice I've ever known. Back in the day when I was first saved, I was saved at Gethsemane Baptist Church many, many years ago. And there was some contemporaries my age, and I had went off to Bible college. And I was back there for about 6 months before we started the church here in 88. And it was one of the girls that was in the group that same age as me, and she had been married. And this is in the 80s, late 80s, and this is when AIDS was relatively new, and people didn't quite understand it, how you get it and all that. And this girl that I knew from the church for many years back, her husband had this thing where he had to get blood transfusions very, very, you know, he had to get them periodically. That's just, I forget what disease he had or what he had going on. And, of course, they didn't understand about AIDS and HIV and all that. And he contracted AIDS through a blood transfusion. This lady left him, took the kids, and just left him to die on his own. That's not sacrifice. That's the epitome of selfishness. Now, I'm not saying we would do that, But how often in small ways do we think about ourselves? Sacrifice puts the other person first. By the way, if you have a husband and wife that are willing to do that, your marriage won't be perfect, I get that, but it would be much better. Sacrifice. One more I want us to look at tonight. The word cherish. The word cherish. Look at verse number 28 of Ephesians again. We'll look at 28 and 29. Cherish. It says, so ought men to love their wives, verse 28, as their own bodies. Okay? Oh, I hate myself. No, you don't. Every time while you walk by a mirror, you look. Okay? Is my hair out of place? I don't have that issue. That's an easy one. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Why do we love our wives and we want to? Because that's good for us. Now, of course, we love them. Or the other point, sacrifice. But we also enjoy that relationship. Okay? It's not one-sided. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. Again, these verses are in the context of the husband, but it can apply to both. We're supposed to love each other and take care of each other the same way that we love and take care of ourselves. What does cherish mean? Cherish means to we're cherishing with tender love, to foster with care. It is seen in how we respond to each other, how we take care of each other's. We're to cherish. For husbands, this is vital for the relationship with the wife. The way we treat something acknowledges whether we cherish it or hold it with indifference or contempt. Okay? How you take care of things. You know, we don't do it anymore. We gave up. We used to, back in the day when all of our children were small, you know, we tried to do the pet thing. And I'm not really a pet person. To be honest with you, I don't have time to develop a relationship with an animal. And we tried everything. We tried fish. They would die. We did what we were. We had a bird. We tried a bird one time. I thought, that's easy. You just throw seed in there and you change the paper. I go in there one day. He's laying at the bottom of the cage and we fed him. We even had a turtle that struggled. Remember one time my wife got a dog. She tried a dog and she got it in the newspaper. The lady said he needs a good home. And I remember I came home from work and the kids were over at the park with the brand new dog. And that's when we lived over on Flagstone. We were over at Wardlow Park. And I went over there and met them. And here they are on the leash. And they're all sitting around. And the dog's having a good time. As soon as I walked up, he starts growling at me. I'm like, excuse me? And my wife's, no, you got to. I'm like, I ain't got time for this. And you need to develop a relationship. So I came home one day and she had dog treats. She's like, go out there. Feed the dog. He'll get him to like you. I went out there, I fed him biscuits. That day was pretty good. But the next day I come back, same thing, he's growling at me. I'm like, he's gone. I called a lady and said, come pick your dog up. This isn't working. I don't have time to cherish a mutt and love him. Now, if he would have liked me maybe right away, I made a mistake one time of getting Allison a cat. She was about 8 and she wanted a cat. And I don't like cats. I'd rather have a dog than a cat. And I'm like, but she wanted a cat. And if you're a good father, you give him a cat. So I got this cat. I brought him home, and the stupid thing liked me. I'd be the first one up in the morning, and he's hanging with me. I got to be honest, I kind of liked him. I'm like, I did not have to cultivate a relationship with that cat. If he didn't want to come, he didn't come. If he had to use the bathroom, he knew where the litter box was. So the cats were okay. But I didn't have time to develop a relationship and cherish. Now, how does that reply to marriage? I have no idea. But in your relationship, there ought to be some caring going on there. I know what I was asking. You could tell for that dog especially, I had contempt for that dog. That dog, he lasted 3 days. How you treat something shows the value you place on it. See, we try to place value on something simply by the words that we say. That doesn't work. Now, by the way, the words are important. Don't get me wrong. Those need to be said. But more important than that, the actions that you take, the things that you do one for another show whether or not there's value in the relationship. Cherish. What do our actions for each other say? If we didn't speak, but our actions spoke for us, what would our actions say about our relationship? In some cases, we can just throw that right there. Ouch. What do our actions say? To truly cherish something is to go out of our way to show it off, protect it, and honor it. That's just a basic definition of cherish. Those are all actions. Think about it. You know, you can look, when someone has a classic car, they take care of it, right? Remember when we used to have the classic car show here? Okay, those guys were great guys. We had a group of guys, they'd bring their cars, but they got nervous after church. Everybody's out there, you know, and the little sign, do not touch. Why? That thing, we had a guy, Kevin, that used to come, and Kevin had some high-end cars. I mean, he had cars worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, and he'd bring them. And you know, those cars, I think the same thing, too. You got a car with a couple hundred thousand, you don't want some kid, you know, hey, what's this fork do? Don't we want to do that? But they take care of it, and they protect it. They show it off. Like, think about it, a signature on a baseball. You know, people get someone's signature and they put it in a little plastic case and they set it out where everybody can see it. Why? That's important. Remember when we were children, Pastor Esposito's dad, and this is many years ago before autographs were real big, he had a baseball with all the autographs of the original Los Angeles Angels on it. So they had that put up. You don't mess with it. Well, you know, we were kids. We played baseball, and we'd beat the baseballs up, and we needed a baseball. So it's like, look at the baseball with the signatures on it. It's like, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll put it in a plastic bag. That will take care of it, and we'll be really careful with it. Listen, the first time that bag ripped and came off, pretty soon, like, we were throwing sliders into the wall. We were going for it. That thing did not last. We didn't cherish that thing. Our actions tell what we think about our spouse. Are we cherishing them? Husbands, your wife doesn't want you to just love her. I mean that in a sense of just being committed. She wants to know that you are, that you as a person honor her, protect her. You're trying to cherish her, value her. And ladies, you'll discover that if you cherish your husband, he will be happy. That is why I say, listen, ladies, and this is just a secret. I'll throw it out there. If you want the credit card, it works. Your husband comes home, and you're like, wow, you know, you look really good. Have you been lifting weights? Now, I'll tell you, the only weight he's been lifting is the fork to his mouth, but, you know, you look really, and then his favorite meal is being made. And then it's like, sit down and take it easy. Now, we know in our heart you're beating us over the head with a baseball bat for a reason, but we don't care. You know, my wife does something like that. I already got the wallet out. Like, where do you want to go? Here's the credit card. Have a good day. Okay? We're pretty easy to please because we like that. And by the way, wives, husbands, your wives like you to take care of them like that too. I was reading a story in this, a book I was reading, the pastor said that he knew a man in his church that asked seven of his friends if their wives loved them. And they all said, of course. And then the next question was, but does she like you? All seven of them said no. Because love is what's in our heart. Like is what is in our actions. It's got to come out. We must cherish. The commitment to love is the commitment to do the actions that love requires. What, I just want to give you a couple things here and we'll be done. What keeps us from cherishing? cherishing. What would keep us from cherishing our spouse? We got to watch these things. First of all, focusing on the negatives of the spouse. Do you know that all of us have negatives? If you want negative, you could say weaknesses. Let's go with that. Okay? All of us do. Right? Is there anybody here, you don't have a weakness? Good. All right, good. You don't? I know one. Lying. Mike, would you like to testify? Okay, good. No, all of us have weaknesses. But by the way, we have strengths too. And one thing that drew us to our spouses was the strengths, the good parts in them that we saw. We were attracted to that. And so what happens when you get married, you don't notice that. You notice some probably before you got married. You didn't notice very many. Because once you got married and you started living in the same house, it's kind of hard to hide them. When you're out together, you know, on a date and you're there for 4 hours, you can hide them pretty well. But when you get to living together, you see the weaknesses. And if we're not careful, we focus solely on the weakness and we forget all of their strengths, which far outweigh their weaknesses. See, what we want is we want them to be perfect without any flaws, and that's not reality. And by the way, it's not reality for you either. So we have a choice. What are we going to focus on? Let's focus on their strengths. Let's focus on their good aspects. I've said many times, listen, if I were to focus on my wife's weaknesses and she were just to focus on my weaknesses, it would not be good. We have to stop and make ourselves say, we're human. Look at all the good aspects. But we have a tendency. How many of you naturally see things that are maybe, you naturally spot things that are not good or negative. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the house is spotless. Perry, is that you? The house is spotless and you come in and there's one thing on the ground. It's like, hey, who put that there? It's like, we just scrubbed the whole house. You saw the one thing the kid threw out? We have to be very careful or else all we see is negatives. And so if we see the negatives without the positives, we're going to use that as an excuse not to cherish. Listen, we cherish our spouses because we married them and because we made a commitment to love them, and so that's what we need to do. Also, we don't cherish them because there's a lack of gratitude for their strengths. That's the flip side. The flip side is we understand their strengths to the point where we expect it. And we don't give any thankfulness for it. I heard this illustration. Put it a better way. Here's a lady that marries a guy and he will not work. Just won't do it. And every morning she gets up, he's in bed. And it frustrates her. One morning, reality hits him. He gets a dose of responsibility. He hops up out of bed and says, I'm going to get a job. His wife is thanking God for that. And now he gets a job, and every morning he's out working, he's doing everything, and she couldn't be more happy with this step of progress he made. And she praises him every time she can. Thank you for taking that. To think of it on the flip side. Here's a lady who has a husband that he's a hard worker and he's just been doing it his whole life. And she takes it for granted. He gets up in the morning, he comes back, and it's like, well, that's what he's supposed to do. And he can't please her in any way because everything he does is expected because that's just who he is. You can still say thank you. You can still be thankful for what they do. I think some of us sometimes need to see things from the other side. If you're a family and a husband and wife come to church, you should jump up and down that you have a husband and wife that come to church. There's a lot of people that would love to have that. Love to have it. It's all in how we look at things. Another reason we don't is because their attempts at cherishing are not accepted by their spouse. Not accepted by their spouse. In other words, here's someone that's trying to do something and it's not appreciated. And I would tell you, keep doing it, but it's not appreciated. Sometimes it could be ridiculed. And what happens is eventually frustration sets in and you almost get this thing, why try? Okay, why try? By the way, ladies, when husbands are trying to be, we're not the most romantic people in the world say, well, I wish you were just more sensitive. Then you should have married a girl, to be real honest with you. We're working on it. Pray for us. But you know, your husband thinks that, you know, it was the most romantic thing in the world to bring home an iron. Just, hey, I was walking through the store and I happened to see an iron and it made me think of you. And you look at that thing and you think, what a knucklehead. He has no clue. And by the way, guys, you don't buy your wife an iron. What good is an iron without an ironing board? Get both. If you really love her, get a vacuum. I heard this story. There was a guy and his wife was 8 months pregnant. And when ladies are 8 months pregnant, they're struggling. Okay, here's this lady that's always immaculate and she's doing the best she can, but 8 months pregnant, you're close to purgatory and you're almost there. And they, I don't know, they were walking, I thought they were going to the doctor's office or something, and they're walking. And she used to be athletic and so forth before she had the baby. And the husband was looking, and as he was watching, another lady came by. She was a blonde, and you know, she was obviously very trim and athletic, you could tell. And as he saw her, it made him think of his wife, how she was before she was pregnant. And he was trying to give her a compliment, and he didn't know. And he said, he looked at his wife and said, you know what? I just forgot how pretty you were when you weren't pregnant. She started to cry. But she said later on, she realized what he meant. He was trying to make a compliment and he just couldn't get out of his own way, right? Guys, have you ever done something like that? You're trying to do something and it's trying to be something nice and we're not good at it. Ladies, help us out. Okay, if we do something nice, accept it, but then next time, maybe drop some hints. Thank you for the iron, honey. That was really sweet. By the way, I lost an earring. I don't have any earrings. Help us out, guys. Okay? But let's appreciate each other. If someone tries to help, accept it. Brother Pineda and I, years ago, I think we went to Taco Bell for lunch, and a lady was outside, and, you know, can I have money? I want to go in and buy some food. And I don't give people money. I think Brother Pineda, we bought her some tacos. I said, here, can you take this out to her? And she's like, I don't want those. And she left. You know, what she was saying is she just wanted the money. What's funny is a couple weeks later, I was taking someone out to eat by the church, and I saw her outside. Can I have money for food? And I had my guests with me, and I'm like, hey, wait 1 second. She forgot who I was. And I went and walked in my car. I came back and said, you know, I would, but I remember I bought you food, and remember you didn't want it? You just wanted the money. I'm sorry, I can't help you. But we want to accept it. You should make it easy for each other to do nice things for one another and accept everything that is done. Why is it that we can do that with our children, but we can't do it for our spouse? Your child comes home, and I hate when they do this, and the grandkids do it now. And it's like, here, I got a picture for you. It's like, what in the world is this? Grandpa, you like it? What is it? I'm like, it looks like roadkill. I have no idea what it is. And they're like, no, it's, I drew this. It's grandma. I'm like, I see it now. Okay. She's not in here. She's in patch, so don't tell her. Okay. It's like, and what do we say? That's beautiful. That's the best thing I've ever seen. And we hang it up on the fridge. So we can torture other people, right? We accept it readily, even though it makes no sense. Why can't we do that for our spouses? So if your wife gives you a picture, it looks like a train wreck. Say, what's that, honey? It's a picture of your funeral. No. Accept it. Let's make it easy to please one another, to cherish. Take your spouse seriously. They are worthy of cherishing. Does your spouse know by any actions that you care for them? Or is everything that they get from you, do they have to beat you over the head? You know, leave reminders. You know, do all this and that. Let's make it easy to cherish one another. Let's pray this evening. Let's all stand.